Every wall that exists in our modern built environment is an invitation. An open invitation to bring more beauty, delight, and connection through art into our lives. I'm Morgan, and hostess of If These Walls Could Talk. Do you know of any bare, beige walls that could use a transformation? Whether you're an artist or an art advocate, If These Walls Could Talk will glean fresh ideas and inspiration for you from in-depth interviews so that your next mural project can be a huge success.
I don't know where we're going. All I know is the power of visual art to create both aesthetic beauty and impact, but this visceral impact, a deep emotional connection that makes people more inspired and more willing to take a step to helping others. And that is a gap today, I think, exists. And now the question is, can we do it?
Hi, this is Morgan, and welcome to episode 4 of If These Walls Could Talk. First up, I want to let you know I still have a couple spots left for my upcoming mural painting masterclass in February of 2019. This is a week-long class, hands-on workshop, where we're transforming an elementary school. And last time during this workshop, I painted 5 murals in 5 days with my team, and it was awesome. And everyone learned a ton and took home tools and confidence to create exterior murals in their communities. So we're doing good while we're learning, and I'll also go over the logistical and business side of painting murals. You can find more details about the class on my website at morganmurals.com. Today, I will be speaking with Brad Mahak. When I initially had the idea to do a podcast, Brad is one of the first people I wanted to interview. He's on the board of 01.org, and that's a hybrid arts organization based in Silicon Valley. And they support artists and communities towards more creative innovation. Brad is also the founder of Social Venture Cafe, and that's a startup accelerator that supports the creation of successful new social ventures and innovation initiatives to solve our local community's most pressing social challenges. Brad has also been an influential mentor for me. His experience as a creative collaborator, combined with his passion for the power of public art and its potential to create social change, makes him a powerful champion for both art and artists. Brad sees public art as an opportunity for communities to celebrate inclusion and diversity and to share positive messages of our common humanity. I just want to mention a few items that I'm going to share in the show notes, including Brad's Instagram account, which I highly recommend. I've loved following.
What I do is I go from city to city, I try to find urban art or street art that resonates with me. And I have an interest that I have about social inclusion and art that kind of connects with people and bridges kind of back to their hearts and moves a public space into another realm of really having a relationship with people on the streets.
His email address, he's working on a social justice, social inclusion-based art program in Sonoma. So if you want to reach out to him directly about that, email is the best way to contact him. He also generously shared his workshop notes that he developed for artists around defining success on their own terms. All of that is going to be in the show notes. The piano music you'll hear throughout the podcast is part of a spontaneous composition made by my father-in-law and pianist, Tatanka Bricka. That's all for now. Enjoy the show. Thank you for joining me.
Yeah, glad to be here.
I guess my first question is, why are you an arts advocate?
Oh, Good question. Well, let me tell you a little bit about my background. So I started at HP right out of college. In fact, hadn't finished college and started in 1975 and had a long, long career and experience at HP, about 18 or 20 different jobs, mostly around innovation and creativity, kind of in the technology world. And so I became known as someone who thrived in kind of turnarounds and new business ventures. And that led me to a kind of a search for the kind of creative core that really makes products, people, art successful. Mm-hmm. And started to do a lot of work with San Jose State University and who I'm an alumni with.
And that creative core, I mean, what does that mean? Like, how do you set people up to work mm-hmm. creatively, to think creatively, to produce creativity? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's the key. That's the challenge. Because as you might guess, depending on your perspective and where you come from, if you don't have a lot of benchmarks, it's hard to really tell whether what you're doing is kind of right, normal, appropriate, or whether or not it's convoluted because of culture, in the case of Hewlett-Packard or an Intel or some technology.
I feel that way all the time. It's not just you.
I think after years of doing this now, I realize we all feel that way in all our perspectives. So anyway, that's where it started. So I immediately thought that in my world, the HP culture and the environments and the structure, while known for its kind of liberal, collaborative type of environments, felt stymieing to creativity. Very analytical, lots of engineers, lots of numbers, lots of debates about right and wrong. And that just seemed to go against the grain of creativity. So that's where it started. And then from there, I started benchmarking a number of companies, a Disney company, Pixar, a lot of animation companies, started to pay attention to artists in the community.
And when you say benchmarking, how do you benchmark a company? What does that mean?
Yeah, for me, it just meant literally starting with what I thought we were doing at HP and kind of the process behind the creativity journey mm-hmm. and trying to integrate both the culture around that journey, as well as the actual steps of that journey. You start with wherever you start. So thank God we had the internet and we had a lot of resources. So it was very easy to do kind of secondary research or investigations, read articles, read books, okay. read papers that people were writing in different journals on creativity or innovation, and start to try to pick up the kind of kernels of commonality and start to build a loose structure. There is no right answer, and I always tell people it's an analogy similar to making a quilt or something like that, where you have thousands of patchworks that are potentially usable in whatever quilt you're going to do, and how the artist actually combines those, sews them, creates mm-hmm. texture, creates story, creates emotional connections is the magic. And it doesn't happen by reading a book and, you know, doing it by numbers. It really happens organically through seeing what works in context with where yeah. you're at, what you're doing. And that's no different in the technology world as it is with the artist.
Yeah,
it's very different maybe in the elements and the simple processes, analytical processes versus a much more inward-focused type of process. But it's still a similar type of process. It's exploration, experimentation. And what I recognized over time very quickly was the worst thing for creativity is to try to stymie the exploration. Many times in a corporate environment and as artists who are going into artist business for ventures, trying to create their own art business, find out is all of a sudden there's time constraints, resource constraints. A lot of external factors start to interrupt what was initially a very organic process. following your feelings, following the stories you wanted to tell, using the skills you had, and not worrying about what else there was, but using the elements that were at your fingertips and in your soul. In a corporation, when you have 1,000 people around you, everybody has their own tools, their own ideas, their own feelings. And whenever you're trying to collaborate on a single point of artistic creativity or technology creativity, all of those points of view fight to be part of that final solution. And it's very, very frustrating to many people because they have to give up their personal vision to have a shared vision and a shared discovery. And that's where the dilemma between an artist working by themselves, without constraints, without external factors, having to really live in a collaborative, fully engaged environment, and the stresses that go along with that, along with the benefits that come with that. Mm-hmm. But it's very risky and very scary.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just starting to move towards more public projects, and it does require, I think public art requires artists to be somewhat more collaborative mm-hmm. and responsive to context and community. And it feels like a level of professionalism to be able to understand the core of what you're wanting to create and where that inspiration is, mm-hmm. and then where you have to come together to create something mm-hmm. sort of large, you know, a larger vision in the mm-hmm. public space. Would that,
Yeah, it's very very similar to what's going on now in art schools. You go to an animation class or a school and watch the work being done in the learning process. What they really do strive for, and same in the commercial arts, is they strive to understand the story others are trying to tell. Mm-hmm. And then they blend their expertise and their unique perspectives into that. But it's always with, I'm going to start with where I'm at. I'm going to put it out in front of others and then use that as a discovery tool to figure out what story they're trying to tell and to help them tell their story, but yet embed the elements of their artistic skills and talents mm-hmm. and points of view into those alternatives. Mm-hmm. And that transition is very hard, yeah. especially if you've worked individually. Why do you many times see in or here in podcasts or see on TV, people that are entrepreneurs, they're always doing their own thing. They're always out there creating new paths. And they always seem to be very successful in big ways and very fast and exciting and things like that. But in many cases, they did it on their own. There were no other elements. So in many cases, it ends up being that they were successful simply because they created a path that everybody resonated with, similar to an artist that works in a studio mm-hmm. who finds their audience. Mm-hmm. When you're in a commercial world and when a muralist or something is having to work with cities or the public, that can be very difficult because, in general, large populations aren't segmented into common interest. And so as the artist starts to try to plow forward quickly, the feedback and the tension from the surrounding community or collaborators starts to build and can really melt down a project. So the idea is trying to figure out that skill, that talent of how do you blend your skills, your point of view, your artistic talents into a collaborative environment to find a new solution or a new piece of work mm-hmm. that everybody can resonate with. Separating that first step, which is the discovery process, from what they call the beast, who wants to consume, wants to do, wants to execute, is a very delicate balance. How much time do you give and how do you manage the environment of creativity and collaboration to get that core versus the execution piece once you have that? And if you get too aggressive at trying to do both the creativity and the execution in the same time window, it's nothing but conflict. Mm-hmm. Because as you're executing, mm-hmm. you're discovering what you didn't know, what you weren't aligned to. And I'm sure many muralists or people like yourself have gotten into projects where you thought everybody was on the same page, only to find out that the product or and the project starts to drift because people want to get their points of view into the work and it's moving too fast for them. So they slow it down. They start to create barriers for progressing, but it's only because we started too quickly. So again, that's a balance, and every artist has to find where that is. I don't know if you know this or that you work this way, but you know, there's kind of a range of ways you can work with the public or cities or any organization. One is what we call the artist coming in with a proposal from their observations and their perceptions. What the organization is, kind of a Hail Mary. I'm coming in blind. I hope it sticks.
Well, and some cities ask for that.
That's right.
They ask, they sight unseen, they ask for artists to submit proposals for their wall,
right.
Which is, astounds me in some ways because it's, I think, well, I don't know who you are. I don't know where it's going.
Exactly.
What do you tell me about this?
And that's a very mature point of view because, again, the traditional artist that hasn't been in the business venture world or hasn't done a lot of work with larger groups is often surprised and frustrated because they thought they knew and they get so wedded to the idea by the time they present it, the feedback is very hurtful because their heart and soul is in the work. Whereas if you look at it as a part of the process of saying it's an information gathering tool, it is, yes, your point of view, but really the payback is people saying, that's not what I wanted. It allows you to say, so, what might your solution look like?
You know, it's funny. You're always describing a creative. I resonate so much with what you say all the time. It always surprises me sitting here. I'm like, that is so true. Just about the creative process. So you just described how I think through process. And in some ways, I don't submit to these. I often feel like they're asking for free work when people say they want a proposal up front before they pick you. I'll send them photos of existing work, but I don't want to spend too much time because I'm actually protective of my emotional investment in the project also. I mean, financially, but more importantly, it's like I want to pace myself. And people in that creative process have to keep stepping forward and saying, yeah, we'll give you a deposit. Now let's work on some more ideas. And I'm often not afraid to send early ideas because I would rather have three divergent early directions and have one be kind of knocked down or like this is completely off base and this, and then develop the one that's closest. Okay, let me run with that another, you know, 50 yards and then send it back to them and then tweak. But I also have, I'm sure a lot of artists might relate, there's something intrinsic to the actual art making process that I feel very protective of that I don't know exactly what's going to come out during that. And there are shifts in that. So I both try to provide as much information, but also protect a little bit of artistic license throughout
exactly
it.
And that's the hard transition, I think, that a lot of artists go through, especially when they start dealing, especially with governmental agencies or cities and things like that. The world of public art is a very dynamic environment. Not only do you have the committees, but they're under scrutiny from the public. So the public meetings, the committee meetings, they kind of doing the right thing and not, you know, really hearing or having a goal not to hear negative feedback from any of those quadrants that they are by law required to go through could be very frustrating to an artist who isn't aware. If you just see that as part of their process they have to go through, and yours is to help us discover what is true to you and your points of view and your contributions to the project, and reflecting their kind of points of view as well, but also something that they can carry forward to get it through their process. Because it's not really objecting against you. They're navigating this very delicate position of sharing what they think they're excited about. But if they get too much negative feedback, how to deal with that effectively without derailing the entire project. So that's just a dynamic similar to a corporation. No different. You got a lot of executives that come in, think they know everything, and you have a lot of teams that want to have ownership for something. And so there's this internal struggle, and it's often beyond the walls where the core creativity happens. It's really in taking it forward what they believe they're aligned to, and then in that secondary process, having to deal with feedback, maybe potential adjustments or integration of feedback into the original idea.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been on an arts commission?
I have not yet.
Wow, you would be a good commissioner.
I might be a frustrated commissioner.
That's the thing. So I am also aware that as an artist, I can lose patience or get sort of trampled with in my enthusiasm of what's possible. Then it goes through that bureaucratic system. It feels like people like you can see the larger picture and understand how things have to develop. It makes everything more difficult. But once you know how to navigate it, like at a big company, you have a lot more potential to do big things than you can mm-hmm. as an individual. So it's like we need those larger systems or the larger even companies to make the impact. But preserving that creative process throughout that feels like the core challenge.
Artist has a role, I think, both to raise issues and connect people to issues, as well as to just create an environment that's pleasant to live in, delightful to be around, so that both the aesthetics and the visceral reactions that art can provide to the community are very important.
I love that. Artist as possibilitarian.
That's right.
Creating opportunities. Tell me about this new idea you have budding in Sonoma. What are you working on there?
Yeah, so one of the things I've done over the past 10 years is worked in an area of social work or social innovation practice around social exclusion. Social exclusion in your community or engaging your community. Don't even worry about the social exclusion. How do you engage and create a more vibrant community? If you start with that's the objective and that you don't know, and the only way you're going to know is by engaging with others to discover what the reality is like, and then go back with your peers, your artistic creative peers, to come up with ideas, envision ideas of how that might do, and take it back to the community to start a dialogue of change. And so that's kind of my thing. And so in Sonoma, I'm trying to do the same thing, a little more simple. I just think people like yourself and a number of other muralists I've run into have the ability to tell through their art in a public space the story of being more kind, compassionate, and generous to those less fortunate. The stories of the hopeless who have hope, the story of the people and the heroes that have turned around and become great humanitarian heroes, the people in your community that every day, every nonprofit in this community is touching lives in special ways. And those special ways and those miraculous outcomes of that human touch are hidden. And if we make those more visible and possible for people to relate to, I think that leads to people themselves taking steps of humanitarian purpose, more kindness, more compassion, more generosity. Not because they don't have it, but because today in communities it's hidden, and those stories are usually told, as you might guess, through fundraisers. Where do we always hear about we need money to take care of the elder community center or special programs for the disabled and things like that? And it's usually somebody gets up in front, comes with a silent auction or some presentation, you know, give us money, go to this event, my cabin, whatever it might be. And I'm saying that's one way and that's important to do, but it shouldn't be limited just to those events. How can we use muralists working with maybe nonprofits in the community through festivals, through murals in the community to actually tell those stories of those heroes, tell those stories of portions of our community who are just like our families that are needing help, and creating the sense of an opportunity to touch and help in those opportunities. So I'm trying to put artists together, yourself and a number of other people, to say, I don't know. I don't know where we're going. All I know is the power of visual art to create both aesthetic beauty and impact, but this visceral impact, a deep emotional connection that makes people more inspired and more willing to take a step to helping others. And that is a gap today, I think, exists. And now the question is, can we do it? Artistic world is everybody has a story. We all have a personal story of family challenge, life challenge, things like that, or just human interest in troubles around our nation and our world that are looking for a voice, that people want to do that. And the question is, if we start to raise examples of that art, my belief is it will start to gain momentum of people who are interested. And the way I always resonate with that is I live downtown Sonoma, California, and we have the California's biggest plaza, the site of the last mission, the site where the first California flag was ever raised. But every weekend we have a marathon, we have a big event where a lot of social challenge fundraisers and events take place. There's thousands of people. And every time they run by with a ribbon, they run by with some sign, a t-shirt, things like that. And if I go down to the plaza to see what's going on, I never see a piece of art that tells the story, that resonates with everybody so they can relate to not only the word and a t-shirt and a color, but actually the human soul of the people being touched and the aspirations they have as a group. So I think we have now an opportunity for especially muralists and public artists, whether it's sculpture, whether it's posters, whether or not it's murals, to become storytellers to help engage and create place in communities and raise topics in ways that I think can be appreciated. So again, I would encourage, when we start here with talking about where I'm headed, and I'm kind of headed in, kind of what you've been doing is exploring. I got enough knowledge to know I'm dangerous, and I don't know what I don't know. But I also think at this point, it's time to start experimenting and seeing. Because, we don't know. And if you're open to just saying, I need feedback, just thinking about it longer and longer and longer and more detailed and stuff like that makes me feel comfortable. But it really isn't getting at the feedback you need to really see if your vision of how to inspire people is possible.
So it's time to start iterating.
Time
to get the paint out.
That's right. Actually, put a brush in that hand. So that's it. And so if I can do that, and I'll probably do that in the next year here in a small way. I'm trying to put together a small network of artists that have similar interests like yourself to do an experiment. And one of the ideas is to partner up with local nonprofits and the artists in a kind of a short-term way to understand, hear, witness the heroics being done, the lives being touched, and then turn the artists loose to tell that story, kind of in a kind of a weekend type of thing, and then at the end of it, invite the public in to come hear the stories. And see the artists and use both the art as a way to bring people to a place to watch the process. Because again, as you know, people love to watch the process of talented people, but to bring people to see that.
They like to watch the process of struggle.
Yeah, that's good. But they also to then inspire and surprise them with telling a story that's in their community, might be a magical thing. And again, hopefully those artifacts can be left or kept in the community and become part of the repository of our artworks that tells our community's story.
Brad, thank you so much coming out to talk with me today. We could talk for hours. I hope to have you back.
Great.
Possibly appreciate many it. Times a recurring guest. Your insight, your vision for what art can be in our public spaces is so inspiring. Your understanding of the creative process makes you an incredible ally for other artists. I hope you don't get bombarded with requests from artists listening. He's a great resource. But thank you for coming out today.
You're welcome. I appreciate it. And good luck to everybody. And I hope everybody is successful and tells their stories.
Thank you.